Experience worship. True worship. Experience the Word, bringing you wholeness. Experience the warmth of fellowship. Experience wholeness at Lighthouse. Join us every Sunday and Wednesday at the Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. Visit our website at www.lighthouseng.org or contact us at info@lighthouseng.org. The Lighthouse, lighting your pathway to destiny.
Praise the Lord. So, since October, interestingly, the ministry gift that we've had, they tilted our hearts towards the subject of discipleship. And if you look at the last two Sundays, that's the thought. So I'd like to tie it up this morning. But before I do, please, we're running into the month of November. And this happened on Friday night as we went through Avalanche prayer meeting. I just sense in my heart that God has helped Paul. I know the mercy of the Lord is constant. But I sense that for the last 2 months of this year, there is an outflow, outpouring of God's mercy. And this is what it does. When the mercy of the Lord is in operation, you get what you deserve. You also get what you don't deserve. Praise God. Did you understand that? So sometimes we feel qualified, but sometimes we don't feel qualified. So whether you feel qualified or not, the Bible says in Psalm 102 verse 13, He said, He will arise. That's God's. He will arise and have mercy on Zion. The church. You can put your individual name as member of the church. He said, for the time to favor her. Yes. The set time. So what the mercy of the Lord also does is to quicken time. And then put everything in the context of the set time. I don't know what your experience has been in the first 10 months of this year, but he will have us say to you that for November and December, he said he will arise and have mercy upon you for the time to favor you. You know, in Psalm 5 verse 12, says, God surround the righteous with favor as a shield. But he's saying to us this morning that there is the set time for restoration, set time for renewal of your strength, set time for a new beginning, because God says, I will arise, and have mercy, and have mercy. You know, when mercy comes, it covers up your mistakes. So, there might have been an error of judgment in your business. Mercy show you what to do. Mercy show you how to do it. Mercy show you with whom to do it. Mercy show you when to do it. Mercy show you where to do it. You just become alive because the set time for the working of the miraculous is now. So I believe in my heart that is the test. That is the scripture. We need to walk in the fullness of it. So God gives his word. We have the responsibility to embrace it. We have the responsibility to engage it. And we have the responsibility to see it through until we begin to share testimony. He said, you will arise and have mercy on Zion. For the time to favor her has come. Can you prophesy to your neighbor this morning? Say, neighbor, this is your set time for God's favor in your family, in your business, in your career, in your hometown, in your community, in your nation, the set time. And when the set time comes, it is the set time. This is your set time. Nothing the enemy can do about it. This is your set time. Hallelujah. So we started by looking at the price of discipleship. And it's just a call that each one of us should be ready to pay that price. Number one price, the price of total dependence on God. The price is a price where you are not distracted. It's a price in your walk with God where His word is the last say over any decision in your life. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. It says, "For the Lord God is wisdom, and out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding." Three ingredients there. The same ingredient for marriage. It says wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And that's what we need to rule and reign in the affairs of life. So there is a price to give the world the first place. There is a price. I mean, like David said in Psalm 119, he said, "I meditate through your word. I do not give sleep to my eyelids." So there is a price of dependence. It's not by power, it's not by mind, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Second price, if the need be, the price to forsake comfort and convenience. The price to forsake comfort and convenience. There's a price to pay for a good marriage. There is a price to pay to see your business grow. In case you don't know, it's the price of delayed gratification. In case you don't know, it's the price to delay the comfort of today to gain tomorrow. There's a price. That price of forsaking comfort. Christianity is not a life of rosy-dozy. No. There is a price. There is a measure of sacrifice. A price to pay when you want to sleep. You have to be awake. So there is a price to forsake your comfort, to go the extra mile, to see the kingdom of God established in the life of people. A third price, the price of placing kingdom over vocation. And that ties into my message for today. Please understand, everything doesn't begin and end here. We need to give account of our stewardship here. And then last week, we looked at the subject of steadfastness. Steadfastness. That for you and I, believers in Christ, we must be firmly rooted. We must. All other grounds are shifting sand. We must. This book of the law, Psalm 1, shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. It is when we do this that we will make our way prosperous and have good success. So we are firmly rooted. And I remember that service, that we are on the edge. And that's the truth. The body of Christ globally is on the edge. I mean, I read something this week, and we were in a discussion. The fact that Christianity is declining, the growth of Christianity, and we concluded that it's not Christianity that is declining, but the people who are following Jesus, but they are not engaging Him. He must become the Lord over our lives. He must. Christianity is not a means to an end. We can't use God. Because that's the way some people, or rather, we've been discipled. No, you need healing, you come to God. You need prosperity, you come to God. No, in response to all that, you also need to serve Him with your life. You also need to make a commitment that is the number one. You know the word idol? It's not the carved trees or wood. Anything that replaces the place of God in your heart is an idol. He said, my little children, 1 John says it. He said, keep yourself away from idols. We must understand the need to be firmly rooted. And I went away from that service with a scripture, Psalm 34, verse 19. Many. 34, 19. Many. Not small. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. Verse 20. What does he say in verse 20? He said, he guards his bones, and not one of them is broken. Even though the afflictions may be many, but God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10, 13 also says that. He said, there is no temptation that has come to you and I, but such as it is common to men. But God is faithful. God is faithful. He will not allow you and I to be tempted beyond what we are able. And even in the temptation, he doesn't leave us there. He said, but with the temptation, we'll also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Let's get back to Psalm 34, verse 19 and 20 in the Amplified Classics. Thank you this morning for helping us to preach. He said, many evil confronts the consistently. You see the word? Consistently. God is good all through the seasons of life. Consistently righteous, but delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, and not one is broken. Not one. We need to be steadfast with our faith. The heart of men is failing them, but we must be steadfast with our own faith. We must not only be steadfast, but we must become the hope to the hopeless in the midst of the happenings in our world today. To be steadfast, remind you again, is to stand immovable. Stand immovable. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. We need to stand. The days of evils are here. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abandoning the work of the law, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the law. God has given us grace to live our lives for him. But we must be steadfast. We must. We must not be found shifting. We must not be found. There is evil in our world, no doubt, but we must maintain our relationship with God. We have to make that decision to be steadfast. We have to show it in our posture. We have to resolve that our victory in Christ is settled. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. I speak the next few minutes that I have on stewardship. All these things are virtues of a disciple. Who is a disciple? A follower of Christ. It's from the root word, discipline. That's where we get the word disciple from. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, it says, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. He said, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. So the body of Christ is on the verge of the greatest revival in the history of mankind. This has been prophesied ages ago about the move of God, that we combine the spirit and the word. And I believe we are in that season. You know, but one problem with us, the body of Christ, is that we are challenged with balance. If we have a revelation for something, we go to the other extreme. Most of our problem at the moment were extremes from the prosperity message. It has produced believers who have become greedy, who have become covetous, who have become users of God. But we need to balance things up. For example, the balance is, what is the essence of prosperity? It's for the kingdom. The Bible says, I think one of the Agai says, it's a true prosperity. My city shall be spread abroad. So we must understand that the whole essence of what God is doing in terms of calling our attention to things is to prepare us. There is a move of God. We are already in it. I don't know how best to describe it to you, but this is the way it is. Usually, seed bed, if you go to the beach, it's like that. So you start from what looks like the shallow waters. But swimmers will tell you that as you proceed, you don't walk on your foot anymore, because it's like that. There must become a time where you submit yourself to the current so that you won't be drowned. We are in that move already. Your feet are in the water of God's Spirit. And you and I must begin to pay attention to the things that we are hearing, pay attention to the things that we are seeing, knowing fully well that you and I have a part to play in this greatest revival of all. This is the day that people like to be seen with Jesus, but they are not actually following him. In Mark chapter 3, the Bible lays an example for us how we can follow him. Mark 3, 14 and 15. Said, then he appointed 12. What is the reason? That they might be with him. So, when you look at stewardship, we look at area of stewardship. The first area is that you are found with Jesus. And you know, if you look, read the second thing, he said that he might send them. There's no possibility that he's going to send them. But if they are found with him, there is a high tendency that he will send them. And if we send them, the kind of missionary that we have had, you know, we used to hear a missionary too, but I believe in my heart that there are missionaries seated here this morning. Each day you live for him, you live as a missionary to your ethnos. He said the first place to make these disciples is that they might be with him. I asked the question again this morning. When last have you had a good time with the Lord? Or are you consumed with the distraction of our city? I'm going to touch on some things this morning. I want us to all consider it. The excuse we all give is that we don't have time. But we have time to make money. We have time. No matter how we don't all have time, we have time to resume at work, 8 a.m. We have time to go through the traffic. Some of us even have time to do multi-level marketing. But the first thing is that they may be with him. And then that he might send them out to preach. Verse 15. And then to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. It's a mindset. Because we all believe that that also needs to be done only when we come to church. But we need to change the narrative. You and I are missionary. Wherever you are a missionary. If you live in the city, you are a missionary in the city. If you live out of the city, you are a missionary out of the city. That he might send them to preach, he may now call you to be a missionary to somewhere. But the basic responsibility is that you are with him. You are with him. What we have at the moment is a situation where the one who are supposed to be healing sicknesses and casting out demons are looking for people to heal their sicknesses and cast out their demons. So the dimension of this move is that we, the church, must put emphasis on disciples or raising disciples who will become change agents in the nations, and then who will reproduce other disciples. I asked the second question. Since you gave your heart to Christ, maybe 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, who have you brought to the Lord? Who are you discipling? We can disciple people in money matters, but who are you discipling for Christ? We are discipling people in career path, but who are we discipling for Christ? This money is just a food for thought. Because the power to heal won't manifest unless we are doing the work. Please understand, there is a widespread decay in every strata of our society. Widespread. Yesterday, was it $10 million, $100 million methane drug was seized by, is it Japanese? Hong Kong. It tells you something. And that's why where Japan, Hong Kong, all those places are where the highest rate of suicide. People commit suicide every day. They jump from 132, 150-story building every day. Every day. So it also shows with our own statistic here that there's something wrong. There is no need mourning over the, he said, take your oil. Stop mourning for the house of Saul. Go and anoint new Davids. So God is anointing new Davids among us to bring hope to the hopeless. I mean, God is not just we receive. No. We also to also give. The measure of grace that we have received since this year began, what have we done to it? Is it just working in our family, in our businesses, in our career path? We are agents of change. So whether you are a student, you are an agent of change on that campus, a teacher, agent of change to form the future, kings, agent of change to administer justice, preacher, agents of change to train people for the work of the ministry. Scientists, agents of change to bring solution to humanity problems. Researcher, agent of change. There are many things. Renewable energy, whatever we are confronted with today. Eh? Climate change issues. Not rats hitting contaminated Holy Communion. Businessmen, women, agent of change. Politicians, agent of change. Farmers, agent of change. Rural and urban city dwellers, agent of change. And if we see ourselves that way, then Matthew 6:33 makes sense. Everywhere you go to, you find yourself, you are saying, we are allowing the kingdom of God to bear. You know, one of the things in the lines of prayer, I said, thy kingdom come. It simply means what we are saying. You and I are salt and light. We are bearing the kingdom wherever we find ourselves. There is fresh oil over the church. The many-sided wisdom of God is available to all of us. Wells must be dug in the hearts of men and women for a sustainable move of God in our own generation. Please let me remind you again, the church is the gift of God to mankind. So through the church, we have the platform to minister to humanity. We have the platform to minister to the sick. We have the platform to encourage people in their faith. We have the platform to equip young people to find directions for their lives. We have the platform to train leaders for our society. We have the platform to advance the gospel to a lost world. This is our responsibility, you and I. The church is not just to have our own needs met. So, how does this connect with stewardship? You know, there are things we all have in measures. And we must be mindful of that stewardship mentality. A steward doesn't own anything. So, what are those things that we need to keep diligently as our focus? Number one, your time. Your time. Your time. Everyone has it in equal measure, 24/7. Your time. Your time. Your talents. That's another area of stewardship. Your talent. Your talent. There is something unique about you. Everybody may be doing marketing, but there is a touch. Your talent. Someone says, I'm not gifted. It's because you are looking at the other side. You are envy. You are practicing gift envy. Your talent, your skills. Another area, your relationships. Your relationship. We can't be bankrupt in our relationship. We have stewards of it. And we must manage it. I hope that you know, for example, the gift of family. It's here. We will all be married to just one bride. So God has planted us in families. He has planted us in relationships, colleagues. So your relationship. You can't be fun to be fighting everybody. You are not being a good steward of your relationship. You can't be found as a Christian, I'm talking to believers now, that you are using people. That's an abuse of our stewardship responsibility. Your treasures. Your treasures or your possession. Your treasures. When I say your, it means your. It means the things God has given you privilege to have access to. It's your USP. Another one is your wealth creation leverage. Some people have it. They can sell anything. Some people can run multi-businesses. It's stewardship. So with all these areas that I've said, time, talent, treasure, relationship, wealth creation, leverage, family. Ask yourself the question, how far have I done well in this area? Have I lifted people up with it? Or once I walk through a door, I shut it permanently. It's still worship. Brother, sister, let me give you two scriptures to corroborate this. Romans 14:12. It says, so, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So, as I'm standing in front of you this morning, I have time. I have talent. I have relationships. It's not by chance that you are a member of this community. So, maybe I should add one. Community spirit. It's not, I will give account of how I manage or mismanage you. That's why he said, to whom much is given, much is expected. You are faithful in what God has given you. I have to give account. Hebrews tells me that I should not give it with grief in my heart. Every opportunity to preach is stewardship of time. Every opportunity to see other people get better is stewardship of relationship. And you know the response, that's Romans 14:12. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. You know, some of these responsibility, maybe because the way church has been structured over the ages, we have just alluded them to just people who call themselves pastors, prophets, evangelists. But look at what it says. Jesus came and spoke to them. He didn't say pastors, evangelists. He spoke to the believers. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He said, go therefore. So, Stanbic IBTC is your going. And by the way, you did a very good job last week, the tech week. You spoke to people all over Africa and other parts of the world. Yeah, that's a good one. Go therefore and make disciples of all the ethnos. So he spoke to tech people. Somebody else? Your platform. It's medicine. You are practicing medicine. You can't be a nasty nurse or a nasty doctor. Did you understand now? So, the ethnos, everyone you have something in common with. Everyone you speak same language with. As an engineer, you know the dimension. You can't put less rods. Even when people want to compromise, because you have the light in that place. Every one of us, we give account of ourselves. I'm not scaring you this morning, but that's the reality. That's the reality. I give account of my stewardship here on the earth. So if I spend X amount of years, what do I do within those X amount of years? What did I do with my time, with my talents, with my skill, with my relationships? I can't be a parasite. I can't. Even if I'm not a pastor, I cannot be a parasite. I must hard to my environment. I must hard to everyone who comes in contact with me. That is stewardship. Every cover I have the privilege to make, I give account of it. I'm going to touch some area this morning. Each time we talk about money in church, don't get upset. Don't. fault. If you have the privilege to make the money, have the mindset that it's for the kingdom. And those who have that mindset, they are in the world of generosity. I've not met many, but I've met few Christian businessmen who doesn't do calculation with God, who doesn't do gross, or what's the other one? And don't be upset. Money is needed. And so if you're, as a steward sees possibilities. God is looking for who to come in. God is not going to come down from heaven to do any work. He's not going to throw dollars or pound sterling. No. He's going to use his church. And if you are a member of his church, he's going to use you. And he can't be using you and you are wretched. It's not possible. I've never seen a tanker taking fuel from Lagos to Ibadan and it's leaking. The environment may be ash. If you touch the tanker, it's cool. Because it has a message. So, we grow into that image. Into that image of stewardship. And then people see. And then they begin to find out. This is evangelism making. So they go and make disciples. He said, teaching them to observe. And then when they take it up, there's something different from this person. Then you immerse them. That's what baptism means. Immersion into the principle of the kingdom of God. So our mission field is our workspace. And we must become passionate about the kingdom. Please, as we go today, the following mindset must be cultivated as a steward. A steward, if you go to a restaurant, you see these people, they just stand there. What are they there to do? To serve. All you need to do is to beckon to one. They know the menu, sometimes off head. They say, advise me on what meal to take today. They ask you questions. That notion, water, is it room temperature or building? They are from stewards. They know. They have researched. They know the meals. They can even suggest to you that this is our chef's delight menu for this day. Mindset number one as a steward, everything doesn't begin and end here. You have time. You have talent. You have relationship. And you know there is a saying that if you are a footballer, you don't train people, you don't pour into people, you can never become a coach. And if you are a footballer, you just reign for a season, you may end up paying money to enter stadium. So, everything doesn't begin and end here. And that's why Romans 12:11 is very critical. Not slothful in business. You don't have the time forever because you don't have this energy forever. I go this way. 20 kids don't play together for 20 years. This relationship is for a season. We may meet again 30 years from now, if Jesus tarry. But what we do with this one, we determine what goes on in 30 years from time. And usually, for some relationship that has been managed, when we see 30 years from now, we just continue from where we stop. We catch up and then we continue. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. So, when we have that understanding, it helps us in the management of our time, talent, treasure, relationship, community spirit, wealth creation, leverage, family. Second mindset, the church, wherever you find it, not just here, is a community of believers. That church, wherever you see it, is a community of believers. That's the common denominator. Some of us who are seated here this morning, I don't know where you live. You probably don't know where I live. You are my brother, you are my sister, we gather together. So we have in between us time, talent, relationships, community spirit. And we can't afford to abuse it. This is my frame of reference. So let me give you an example. You know, us at this side, we see so many things. There was one day, I woke up Sunday morning, and I was just feeling uneasy. So, of course, what you do is that you start to pray. Then I prayed, no release yet. I just pray all through church. I want to touch on that community spirit. So I came to church, and there was someone here back then. Not here, when I mean here, I mean we've been through places. Who has decided to travel that day? Then came to church. I was asking people to loan him money. It was later that I realized that that was what he did. If they had given him that money, I'd probably be the one. Yeah. Oh, because, I mean, it's here. The reason why people will loan him money is because he's a member of this church. That's an abuse of relationship. In a community. Another one. I have many, but let me just give you two. Someone sat in front of me once, and I was driving. And he was struggling as if I should pray that he should. You know, the heart of man. He will be back in a few weeks. It's years now. He has not been back. It's years now. He has married another wife in America. He doesn't know I know, but I know. So, you see, sometimes, you can't even know who I'm talking about, so there's no need. There's no need. You cannot. Even if you ask the Holy Ghost, if you know, I give you 100 Ks now. But you can't. So there's no need. I'm just saying that sometimes the church is a community. Sometimes once, I sat in a meeting with people. I didn't know they've had meetings before meetings. You know all these people who read Mafia Manager, who read 48 Laws of Power, they know all those funny things. So they had a meeting before that meeting. And at that meeting, they were asking me questions. And the Holy Spirit said, no, don't talk. Don't respond. So they left that meeting. And one of them in that meeting went to the house of the chief organizer. Chief Kovinavi. So the person who wasn't at the meeting now placed a call to me, talking to me. In the life of this church, we've had 3 crises. It was one of those crises. But you see, when I come out, and I don't talk. People think that there is crisis. You are not talking. I've talked to the one who needs to be talked to. Yes, sir. Some, sometimes in community, I know many things that you don't know. So when I keep quiet about certain things, it's not because I don't want to talk about it. If I talk about it, for example, if someone leaves this church, you can't hear me talk on this topic. Why? Number one, if that person does not have the privilege to defend himself, so I can't talk about him or her. If I do, if I'm talking about that person now, the way you will, what you hear, what you thought that you hear, is different. Because it depends on your association, your ability to interpret things. So, by the time I say something, you can amplify it. And it can grow and grow and grow and grow. So I don't even have energy to be drained explaining myself to someone. I don't know if you find yourself, you are explaining to someone who is not impressed. I'm saying this to you this morning, community spirit. You protect it. I've had people in this place who borrow money from other people, and they are telling me, the pastor, they are threatening me, whatever he wants to do, let him go and do now. So, I trust people. Even when they remain, they prove untrustable. I found that. And I will still trust people because I see them from the eyes of Jesus. I've had people who have insulted me. Years later, they became assets to me. Stewardship is very critical. I deliberately pull you to that direction. Before you say something about these are like here. The Bible says, what does the Bible say? If my brother offends me, go talk to mine, and if he agrees with me, I have gained my what? There's no need for Brother Donald to hear that transaction. Because if he hears, it may affect his dealing with him. You know, the body of Christ, that's why we use that scripture a lot for communion. He said, the reason why many are sick, why many die spiritually, is because they have not learned to discern the body. I've been in church where people say, if he wants to break, let it break. That's carnality. And he cannot break. He can't. I'm not saying here, but I mean, people say these things. So even community spirit, you serve in a union, you serve in a team, your way is not the best way. Your opinion is not the best opinion. And if it's not your opinion, you don't want to cooperate. I've been through, as a pastor, where people withdraw their membership, withdraw their finances, withdraw everything. The church is still here. If we have a need, if God can't meet it, so be it. I've never lost a sleep over this church, and I will still not lose one. I have to give account. By my worrying, it can't hurt one soul. Praise God. So please, stewardship of your time is very critical. Don't be the one who scatters. Don't be the one who murmurs. Don't be the one who spread false information about other people. Don't. Don't be the agent of division. Don't. Don't be the one who carry Absalom's spirit. The There was a time in the life of this church that someone was here. After service, if we go to people's house, we'll be giving them words. Just because of 5,000 naira inside the envelope. Somebody is laughing here. What are you trying to do? Absalom is here now. Your pastor doesn't know how to give words. Have you? The irony of it, The irony of it is where I sit down in my office that the victim will bring the matter to me. And this person has collected money from them. I don't have people who say, what are they saying here today? In fact, if I have, I won't be preaching because the moment I know that it was Donald who talked, I won't be able to face Donald if I'm talking. Praise God. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Is it good this morning?
Yes, it is.
We are disciples of Christ. We have the responsibility to disciple other people. There was a time. I have many examples. What do you tell me now? There was a time. Someone invited another person to church. First timer. Because it was the first timer who also told me. First timer, first experience, have you? So, on their way home, as soon as they entered the car, they started discussing people. Do you see this person today? Do you see that person today? Do you see the ta 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 ta? The first time I said, he looked at the number of congregants for that. It wasn't here, it was the other side. Number of congregants that day. These people are not many. And you are talking about almost everybody like this. So I will be, if I'm not in this car, the next time. I will be the one that you guys will be discussing. Carnality. Carnality. Whoever does not have a problem here this morning, raise up your hand. You don't have a problem. I want to do deliverance. You don't have a problem. So why expose other people's problem if you are privy to them? It's God who is covering our nakedness. He who is without sin, let him throw the first stone. We must disarm the body. We must. We must be good steward of time, of relationship, of talent, of treasures. We must. A lot of people are upset with church. Where else will you hear about money, if not church? If you step into Monday, everybody is looking for who to slide. It's dog eat dog. That's the principle out there. See Kanye West now, the moment he started talking. They withdrew all the privileges. Praise God. Praise the Lord. That church is the ground and the pillar of truth. That's why you are hearing it from my mouth this morning. The ground and the pillar of truth is the ground. 48 laws of power. It tells you how to deal with people and eliminate them. One of us have that experience here. He's relocated now, but he told me. He said when he dropped his resignation letter from his company and said that he's leaving, they thought that because his own line manager was dealing with him, that where is he going? They want to negotiate it. He said no, that he wants to relocate and all that. They haven't even, up to now, they've not accepted his resignation letter. But that guy that was giving him problem was working in their Kenya office. So they asked him to come and train people in Lagos. So he was here training people. Letter of resignation was waiting for, a letter of dismissal
was waiting for him in Kenya.
That's the world system. They eliminate. The church builds. So, please, my brothers, my sister, if you don't have, believe God for it. But when they talk about money, don't be upset. Don't be upset with pastor. Don't be upset with church. It's mammon spirit at work. When you are getting it, you are not upset. And there are people, and I recommend Lighthouse people here, there are people who give. God bless you. There are people who ask questions about how this church runs. God bless you. But there are also people, you may not say it, when they say money, all these pastors. I mean, somebody told us once like that now, in a discussion, Abby. You are the one who told me about that discussion. And that was the end of your friendship with that guy. Said he can't just give his money to any pastor and be enriching any pastor. He said, he told him, even this one that he said he doesn't care. He said all of them are the same. And you come here, you eat Holy Communion, we do name it for you. We do everything for you. Hey, well, I get my lolly. Praise God. At least, even if I don't know, that person, I was the one who, he asked two kids, I was the one who named those two kids. I follow him, travel, risk my life to go and open office. See, Jesus come. You know, some of you have been with us. I won't force anybody to give money. But hey, listen to your spirit. The devil can't ask you to give. That's certain. Hey, listen to your spirit, man. Wherever you find yourself, not just church. Hey, give to your parents. Give to people around you. There is a cry. You are looking for 50 million. Somebody is still looking for 50,000. So you can deduct out of the 4 or 5 million that you have and give. And let God use you. That's what I'm saying. Your treasure, your time, your talent, everything that you have belongs to God. Someone just passed. I understand. The man knew he was going to pass. And some of these people who passed, they just knew. This man, he has planted, he has put money to plant churches in places you cannot imagine. He's not even called a pastor or an apostle. But he just passed. And we were at the barrier. The only thing people were talking about were the things that he has done as contribution into the life of other people. I believe that man, we have crown. Just like the Bible said, we have crown upon crown in heaven. Because he did so many things that were even insignificant. Praise God. I pray that the Lord will help us to make good stewardship of our time, of our talent, of our skills. I've said to you, there are many young doctors. So as an older doctor, Paul, there are many young engineers. As old engineer, Paul. There are many young journalists. As old journalist, Paul. There are many young music ministers. As old one, pour yourself. Because at the end of the day, as you pour, you get multiplied. The Bible talks about it in Proverbs 11, 24, 25. There is one that scatters, yet increases. But there is one that withholds more than it is necessary, it tends to poverty. May the Lord bless and keep you. Cause his face to shine upon you. Grant you peace as you walk through your career and business path this week. The increase of the Lord comes upon your endeavor. You are an ambassador of Christ, so represent him well. And as you represent him, as you seek his kingdom, grace is multiplying in all that you do. Father, we say thank you today in Jesus' precious name.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudratabiola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org for more.